Welcome to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show is presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Now, from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River, it's the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And good Thursday evening, everyone. Kevin Williams, Matt Harmon, and Ed Sarluka. We are live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in downtown Toms River for the Investors Bank High School Football Show as we get set for the second weekend of October. And more the contenders separate themselves from the pretenders. Our spotlight tonight is on two programs who have not had the best of times in recent years, but certainly have turned their fortunes around in 2014. We'll talk with Freehold Borough head coach Dave Ellis and his terrific junior quarterback Jake Curry shortly, and a little bit later in the hour from Toms River North. We're joined by Coach Dave Osowitz and his big senior defensive lineman Adam Kakar. Of course, Scott Stump with us a little bit later, as always, chatting Shore Conference High School football. Monmouth University coach Kevin Callahan joins us on the Hawk line a little bit later on. Is Monmouth rolling pretty good? And we'll take you right through 8:30 tonight here at the Water Street Grill. And, of course, along with Matt and Ed and guys coming off a long football weekend, as we experience just about every year with the Jewish holiday. Games played from Thursday right through Sunday of last weekend gave some fans a chance to see multiple games. And, of course, there were a couple of real dandies on Thursday. You had the Rumson-St. John Vianney game, which was terrific. And then Saturday night I got a chance to watch Brick and Jackson Memorial, which I simply tweeted at some point, this is like an instant classic, because it was one of the better football games I've watched in recent years.
Yeah, it certainly was. From all indications, I was watching it from a hotel room in West Virginia. So that's how important the game was. MSG was running the feed. And, yeah, it certainly was an instant classic, with Brick coming back four different times after they trailed to finally win it in overtime.
Love what's going on in that division. I mean, it is just a lot of fun right now, and some huge games coming up, obviously, which we'll talk about during the course of the night. But and now it's Brick. It's Brick, the team that everybody is chasing, 4-0 in the overall mark, 4-0 in the division, and just a great classic football game. I did the same, Ed. I was on my way back from the Monmouth game out at Robert Morris, and couldn't stay not quick enough following everyone's tweets
Twitter
about it.
I mean,
such a good way to follow the football game. It's like you're there without being there. But boy, what a game it sounded like it was.
It was absolutely tremendous. Great atmosphere. You know, Saturday night, so you're the only game. A lot of people there. Both Brick and Jackson just packed the stands. Overflow crowd at Munley Field. Great atmosphere. And I mean, as I said to Ed before the show, truthfully, if you look at the stats, the game was about as even as you could possibly have. The one statistic that there was a difference, I think, turned out to be the stat that turned the game, and that is Jackson turned the ball over three times. Brick did not at all.
And it was a good old-fashioned football game. Played on grass, in the mud. It had rained earlier in the weekend, uniforms were dirty.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I meant. You know?
Yeah, it was a good one. It was a good one.
Can't turn the ball over in big games like that. And, I mean, in an even game, if you're going to turn it over, you're probably going to be the team
that
loses.
And by the way, in one of those turnovers, Jackson had the early lead. They're driving. They go down to about the Brick 12-yard line and fumble after a completed pass. There's a chance to go up two scores. But anyway, it was a great game, and a lot more left in that division at all. Of course, Thursday night, the impressive one was St. John Vianney down big to Rumson at half. Rumson's outstanding sophomore quarterback, Michael O'Connor, was dazzling in the first half. And Scott Stump was at the game. We were on the air last Thursday during the time, Ed, you and I, and he was giving us – we actually left the game at halftime almost thinking it was going to be a blowout, and Vianney came storming back, and my goodness, the Lancers really have taken control of Class A Central, and some people think that they'll roll the rest of the way there.
Crazy game there, too. Like, St. John's goes up 14-0. Rumson scores 28 straight to take a 28-14 lead at halftime, and then St. John's puts up 21 in the second half. But that story with them being undefeated and the Freehold Borough story, two of the better stories in the Shore, you know, because programs that have been down for a while. And, I mean, you know, not too long.
Recent
because
years, yeah.
Borough did win two championships back in the,
2008 and 2010,
right,
yeah.
You know, under Mark Ciccatelli. But you got to feel good for Dave Ellis and what he's done with that program and finally get over the hump. And, you know, as we talk to them, you know, their schedule works in their favor for sure, and they're going to have a super year this year.
You know, Matt, one of the things we've sort of done since the beginning of the season is we talked about the amount of new coaches in the Shore this year, and those new coaches just continue to struggle. It's an amazing stat. You have eight new coaches, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9 new coaches.
4 of 1.
If you take St. John Vianney, of course, and Mark Ciccatelli's not a new coach, but he's new there, they're 4-0. If you take the rest of them combined, they're 3-28. It has been a rough, rough patch for these new guys, many of whom are still looking for their first win of the season, including Bill Hill at Asbury, Peter Shaw at Colts Neck, Jay Graham at Holmdel, John Piskowski at Keyport, Bill Furlong at Manchester, and Dan Curcione at Wall. Still looking for that elusive first W.
Well, here's what I would say to that, and obviously it's tough when you take over a program, but what of those schools that had a first-year head coach was supposed to be good this year? I don't know that you would have said any of them really should have had that year. Certainly no one wants to go 0-3, 0-4 like some of these teams have had, but I don't think anyone is underachieving where, hey, you're supposed to have a great year, new coach, all kinds of energy.
Right.
Where it hasn't taken place, but it's a long grind when you get to this point of the year and you don't have a win.
Another pretty good story game last week was Jackson Liberty upsetting Lakewood to even their record at 2-2. Another big surprise.
Not to take anything away from Jim Sharples, because they have come leaps and bounds from when we saw them in week
against
one.
Jackson Memorial.
And give those kids credit. But there were extenuating circumstances, and that, you know, dealt with the situation with a couple of the Lakewood football players arrested.
Four of them.
Three who were players, by the way. It turns out one of them I don't think was what we had heard. But anyway, L.J. Clark, the Lakewood coach, didn't even know till Friday morning that it happened. So now he's got three starters. He's got a game at 3:45 that afternoon. Not just the kids not being there, but obviously the impact it has on the program. But again, we're not taking anything away from Jackson Liberty with a 9-8 win. And the B-South race, I mean, really, just kind of throw it up in the air. It is amazing what's happening there. Point Borough is all alone atop that division. That's a Point Borough
another
team
surprise
that won one game last year, right? They're all alone atop the division. Lakewood, Barnegat, Jackson Liberty, and Central all with one loss. Central plays Point Borough tomorrow night in one of the bigger games in that division.
And next week, tentatively on our schedule, Barnegat travels to Point
Borough,
which will probably determine, you know, or at least have a leg in for that championship, the winner of that one.
You know, I think it's fun because we're not quite at the midpoint of the season because teams have had their bye, but getting close to that point. And, you know, I guess short of B North, where you could say RBC is just a prohibitive favorite in that division, there are some great games that will come. I mean, just the way that the records are shaking out, Freehold, Manalip, and Middletown South, all undefeated in their division. They'll all play during the course of the next couple of weeks. You know, St. John Vianney obviously leading the way, but they've got a couple of tough games coming up still, even though that their schedule is favorable. We talked about A-South. You guys just mentioned B-South. And even in B-Central, Modern Day and Shore, the two undefeated teams there, Point Beach also undefeated. At this point of the year, short of a division, maybe A-Central as the second one, everybody else, it's still wide, wide open.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I like is the games, the potential big-time games coming up near the end of the season. Mainly RBC, who's everybody's number one. Have not, how many straight now? We're
30,
in the
30s.
38, whatever it is. But they have a potential matchup with Manalapan, who also has a streak going. You know, they're in the upper 20s, 29, I believe. And they also will play Jackson. So RPC, you know, who we always get on for their schedule, certainly the Shore has set up some big-time games with them.
Our game, by the way, tomorrow night, our Jersey Mike's game of the week. We will be at Jackson as the Jaguars look to bounce back when they host Toms River North, and that's kind of an elimination game.
Yes.
The winner of that game stays within striking distance of Brick. The loser starts thinking state playoffs because there will be no division championship. So that's where we'll be tomorrow night. And but a lot coming up tonight as we really go big time on the Colonials and the Mariners. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll be joined by the folks from Freehold Borough who have made the trip down here to the Water Street Grill to talk about the surprising 4-0 start for that school and what may lie ahead. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Well, one of the feel-good stories that's taken place early in this season has been the resurgence of the Freehold Borough Colonials. It started with a win over Middletown North. Three more have followed. They're 4-0, ranked ninth in our Shore Sports Network top 10 as we speak. We're joined tonight by their fourth-year head coach, Dave Ellis, and their outstanding junior quarterback, Jake Curry. Guys, first of all, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Did you get to eat a little bit?
Yeah.
What'd you have?
I had a burger.
All right. How was it, all right?
It's pretty good.
All right. You're supposed to say very good, but that's okay. We'll live with that. Coach, good to see you. And, you know, I mentioned to you before we went on the air, you know, you had a couple of lean years to start your head coaching tenure, but 4-0 start, and I would think that everyone's got a little more bounce in their step this fall, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the players, the coaches, they've done a great job. You know, we're just trying to get better every week and take care of the things that we can take care of. And you know, we've come out on the winning end of our first four games, which is, you know, a big positive, and there's definitely more of a buzz around Freehold Borough right now.
A little bit about your background. This is your fourth season at Freehold Borough, but obviously familiar with the program. You're part of the staff with Coach Ciccatelli, and saw a lot of success there.
Yes. You know, Coach Dick, you know, I was very privileged to be able to coach with him. I learned so much from him just about, you know, controlling the controllables. Taking care of the little things, you know, discipline, toughness, and hard work. And, you know, if nothing else, you know, that's more, I think those are the three areas that we've really harped on as a team, and we've been able to have some success doing that.
Sure have.
Jake, your turn. Coach put a big tag on you at the beginning of the year. He said, you are the true definition of a leader. Put a little pressure on you as a junior and only playing a few games last year as a sophomore?
No, obviously that's great to hear from your coach. I don't really feel any pressure from that statement because, I mean, it just comes natural kind of, you know. I've grown up with practically all the guys on the team. We all respect each other, and we all know each other, like, inside and out. So it's not really hard to go into battle with your friends and your teammates every week.
You don't want to let them down, right?
No.
Coach, what does that mean for you to make that kind of statement? Tell us what kind of kid Jake is.
Well, first of all, in the off season, Jake was in the weight room every single day, doing
That's where
everything.
It starts, right?
Weights, yeah. All of his, he made major gains in all of his lifts. Not only was he in there, but he convinced three or four other people to come in there, and then he would bring them into his group so that he can push them and monitor them. And then when we got out to football, he's first in sprints. He's first with jogging on the field. You know, last one off the field, from A to Z. You know, he does everything we ask of him.
That's a leader.
And you know what? You need that out of your quarterback. Let's be fair. A quarterback has to be a natural leader. So having that young man like that, obviously an asset for your program.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So I want to go through night number one at Middletown North. You know, you come off last year. You back to back two win seasons. You go up to Middletown North. Pretty good football program in its own right. Great tradition. You win it 26-14. Jake, tell me what it was like to walk off that field that night, having won your opener.
It was fantastic. It was probably the best feeling in the world. You know, no one gave us a shot to win that game. So to come out first week and prove that we were here to play, and it was huge. You know, we all were so pumped up after that game.
And did you see that it added confidence to the team getting off a good start like
that?
Yeah,
definitely. We got rolling after that, obviously. You know, I think our season probably would have been a lot different if we didn't get that first win and get things rolling.
Coach, I'm going to throw some names at you, okay? And you tell me where I'm going with this, okay? Emamu Mayfield, Ray Fattoruso, Asante Moore, Vinny Lee, Charlie Volker, Damari Willis. Who's next on that list?
Josh Dixon.
Josh Dixon, exactly. He may not be last on that list. He may be somewhere up top on that list. He's had a fantastic year. Tell me about him.
Absolutely. You know, last year, you know, playing in the B North, Josh, you know, Josh was able to run for about 1,000 yards. And we knew coming back this year that, you know, he was going to be a difference maker. And when you have a kid that can go the distance on any given play, whether the play breaks down or whether it's blocked upright, you know, you have a pretty good chance of scoring on every drive.
Jake, now I know the question mark might have been the offensive line. You had to fill in some spots there. How have they played?
They've played very well this year.
Well, when you have a back like Dixon putting up the numbers that he has, they have to come through for you, right?
They stepped up big time this year. Yeah. You know, we had David Alpo and Mitch Johnson and Will Fermani, who all had time last year. So obviously they brought some experience, and they were getting after the younger guys, making sure they knew what to do. We're giving the maximum effort that they needed in order for us to drive the ball down the field and score and win games. So they definitely stepped up.
It's good when the quarterback knows the names of the offensive
line. Oh, you got to know those offensive linemen. Yeah. They are, you know,
you face that lookout block. You know, the lookout block? Yeah, you don't want one of those. Jake, looks like you've had personally most of your success on the ground to this point. You really haven't had to throw all that much. Can you guys throw the ball if you need to down the road?
Yeah, we can definitely throw the ball. We have some weapons on the outside, Jamel Smith Rush and Matt Curcio. They can open things up, and then we got Ashanti in the slot. So if need be, we can throw the ball. We just have to, if the opportunity comes up, we'll definitely take it. But so far, like you said, we haven't had to. We've been fine on the ground. Josh and I and Ashanti, we've been able to get going on the ground.
I mean, do you lobby Coach Mandeville, the offensive coordinator, like to put it up a little more? Or what?
I mean, it doesn't really bother me as long as we continue to do well. Like, I'd rather just hand it off to Josh and let him score, because if that's what it takes to win, then that's what we'll do.
Well, he's rushed for 600 yards and 8 touchdowns, so it's worked pretty well so far.
Jake, I'm going to ask you about Coach Mandeville, because you know he was a big-time star at Raritan, went on to Monmouth and played. How has it been your relationship with him? He must have helped you along the way.
You know, I feel like we have a very good relationship. He expects a lot of me and puts pressure on me to always do my best. And so whenever I do make mistakes, he knows what I can do. But like, he knows my potential. So we're always on the same page, and he always tells me like, all right, what are you seeing? And I just let him know, and we work together and figure out what's the best play.
Coach, you run the defense, right? So you leave Andrew most, you know, alone on offense, right?
Yeah, yes.
But you know what's going on, right?
Absolutely. You know, Andrew does a great job on offense.
Right.
And, you know, when he came to me 3 years ago, one thing I noticed about him was how demanding he was. That was first and foremost. Not always a trait that a younger coach has.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was good with the kids, and he absolutely demanded that his quarterbacks, you know, would do certain things. And, you know, he's progressed over the years. And even, you know, last year, he was calling the offense on the JV, and he had a mixed bunch every day. Like, he never knew what players he had, and he was able to put them together and move the ball every JV game. And, you know, and we had talked, and we actually met every single week in the off season and watched every game from last year.
Wow.
You know, and that's the type of worker he is. You know, he wanted to work. He wanted to see things we missed last year, and he brings it to the table, and now it's showing.
And it's paid off. By the way, we're talking with Dave Ellis, the head football coach at Free Old Borough, and his junior quarterback, Jake Carey. I did want to ask Dave, you know, Jake talked about his relationship with Coach Mandeville. Your former high school coach, and I didn't know till tonight that you played at Lakewood High School, part of some good teams in the late 90s, and you played under Lenny Rivers, kind of a legendary football figure in the state of New Jersey. He was later the Pioneers athletic director, but he's now part of your program.
Yes. You know, Coach Rivers is awesome. You know, anytime he comes around, the kids love him, the parents love him. He just has such a wealth of wisdom. you know, that he brings. And, you know, he'll pull kids aside at practice and talk to them, you know, about different things. And he was actually supposed to come tonight, but, something came up. You know, he just turned 80 this weekend. So,
unbelievable.
I love his title, Quality Control.
Quality Control. He calls me up. I call him every time I'm way home, and he tells me, you know, different things that we need to do. And I actually set him up on Huddle this year, the first time he got a computer at his house. And he's actually been watching some film, so he's
That's
had a lot
amazing.
To say to me.
But how nice is it for you to be able to go back and bring a guy, obviously you have a relationship with you, to pass that wisdom onto young guys like Jake?
Yeah, you know what? As a football coach, I know that I don't know everything. And, you know, it's really, you know, about guys before you and, you know, Coach Rivers, Coach Chick, you know, talking to those guys and learning what they did to be successful. Helps me be a better coach. So I love having Coach Rivers around, and you know, I told Coach Chick, you know, regularly, and it's just good to bounce off ideas off guys that have been there before.
Jake, I know you take them one at a time, but let's face it, we've got a schedule ahead of you. You've got three winless teams in the next 3 weeks, and I know you're only thinking about Marlboro this week, but I think the bottom line here is that you want to be 7-0 going into the big guys, Manalapan and Middletown South, okay? You know that 7-0 is probably going to get you at least one home game and maybe even two home games, because that Central Jersey Group 4 in the States is a very tough division.
Yeah, obviously we're not overlooking anyone, so
I would expect that to be your answer. I'm sorry.
It would be huge for us to be 7-0 going into Manalapan. You know, there'd be a huge buzz. We got them at home too.
All right.
So the stands would be packed and it would just be like a crazy environment, but we can't overlook Marlboro. We have Wall after that, or Toms River East. You know, we're going to get their best each week, so we got to prepare for them first. And
right.
Have the goals changed at all from what they might have been, let's say, in late August to where they are now in terms of, or same goals?
Same goals, basically. You know, we had four major goals, basically. Win all of our home games, win the division, and hopefully win a state championship. And I can't really put my finger on the fourth one right now, but
be a guest
I'll
on the show.
I'll help
maybe
out.
A conference. Yeah. A conference, right?
Win the first game.
Win the first.
Okay,
first game conference.
One down, three to go, right?
Yeah. He got them all.
That first game is important. And that's, you know, you faced one of the better backs in the Shore, Chad Freshner. I mean, he's a good one.
Oh, absolutely. You know, every time he touched the ball.
Yeah.
I was
that game did go back and forth,
yes,
didn't it? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. He's a, you know, he's very similar to how Josh is. He can go the distance. He has good speed. He's tough. Mm-hmm. You know, we got him early in week one, and he was still coming off the knee surgery. You know, so now I think I saw some film on him the other day, and he's really back to full, you know, full 100%. But I mean, he had 260 on us at, you know, maybe at 80 or 90%. So that just shows how good of a back he is.
Now, listen, I also saw on your coaching staff this year a guy by the name of Rob Keyes.
Yes.
Correct? Now,
yes.
Rob Keyes and I were high school teammates.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Do you know how good of a quarterback he was in high school?
Yeah, I do.
He was outstanding. All first team, all sure. Mm-hmm. Central Regional, 1971, 9-0. He was a great player, went to Florida State, longtime friend. I'm glad to see he's coaching with you. I know he's been on the staff before. Coach, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't at least ask you. We're not going to go into detail, but obviously everyone is aware of what's happened at Sayreville this week. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to ask you if you've had any conversations, if you had any kind of conversation with your team based on that, or has it not been something that you've addressed in any way?
No, we haven't talked about it. You know, the way my program works out, we're right there. You know, we're right on you know, the locker room. There's a window to the locker room, and you know, there's always coaches around, in and out. So I feel, you know what, if there's any issues, I feel pretty good about my kids coming forward and telling me. And you know, we have a tight-knit bunch. We, you know, we don't have a whole lot, so it's not a whole lot of them in there. so it's not you know, it's not difficult to manage at all.
Good. Okay, that's good to hear. Exciting times, though, right? I mean, how about the student body's perception of the program? I mean, have you noticed that, you know, your classmates in school kind of getting into the football program?
Yeah, it's a huge change from last year. I mean, last year, like, no one wanted to be a part of the football team. Like, no one was out in the stands. And, like, it really like, made us feel bad about ourselves last year. But this year, you know, like, it's like everyone's hopping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, right?
We won, like, our first four games. Like, every time a football player is in the hallway or something, there's always kids going up like, oh, good game, like, oh, I was at the game last night or yesterday, like, you guys played amazing, like, just keep it up. So there's a lot of positive vibes, and it's awesome when the school's, like, even the teachers, like, everyone on the staff, everyone's just behind us, and hopefully we can just keep it rolling.
Everyone loves to be part of a winner, right?
Yeah.
Jake, what about your career? Have always in Freehold?
Yes.
So you saw those championships. What, were you in elementary school then? Or,
yeah.
You know, and so you were part of that. I'm not part of it, but you saw them. Mm-hmm. You were at the games, I'm sure.
Yes.
Saying someday that's going to be me.
My brother was actually part of the 2010 state championship
yep.
team. He's
okay.
a sophomore.
Okay.
So, yeah.
In the house tonight?
Yeah.
There he is. Yeah. I thought that was it.
I hope he feels better about the hamburger than you did. I'm only teasing. Coach, you know, you talked about the goals and the aspirations, but obviously, you know, you get on a little bit of a roll, and you know yourself, you know, football is a game of a lot of emotion. And I always think we get caught up in the games, but practice is really where things are won and lost. When kids are winning, they look forward to getting on the practice field. You probably get a lot more done. You don't have to worry about trying to lift their spirits. You can get right down to it.
Well, let's just say we're still learning how to practice.
Because this, you know, is a lot of young players, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think we have four or five returning starters out of all, you know, 22. So, there, you know, we've had some sophomores starting. We have a freshman starting. So, we, you know, with our system, we try to keep it real simple and try to get maximum repetitions and try to get better at what we do every day. We're getting better at practice, but we still don't totally understand how to, you know, go through, you know, the whole practice 100 miles an hour. You know, and I'm believing that we will by the end of the season.
So you didn't get 30 transfers in the off season,
no.
And not everyone grew 3 inches and gained 30 pounds. So why is this team winning now as opposed to maybe last year, the year before?
Well, first, if I got 30 transfers in, that would be more than double what I already have out there. So, no, you know what? Our scrimmage schedule, you know, these kids were, I could kind of tell in the weight room that these kids were a different group because they were working hard. They were there. They were encouraging each other. And probably the thing that stuck out the most is how close they were. This group, this team really likes each other. They like hanging out. I mean, there was kids in the locker room last night, and an hour after practice, just hanging out. And I said to one of the coaches, I said, this is weird. You know, this never happened before. And, you know, we found our stride. Well, we kind of changed things around in scrimmages. You know, we went over to Old Bridge, and, you know, we got beat up pretty good. It was hot that day on the turf. And a couple of seniors, a couple of leaders stood up in the locker room and said, guys, we're tired of losing. And, you know, and they sat in there for like 20 minutes, half hour. And, you know, we didn't feel like we did great in our scrimmages. And then as we started to change, that was our second to last. We did a little better against Southern, but we still had some of the same problems. And we started to work it out. And Middletown North, you know, they came out and they played hard and they were able to get the victory. And that kind of set the tone.
Well, you know, Ed and I are old timers. We like it when programs that have had lean times get to enjoy a little bit of success. And Freehold Borough is a very good program. Matching state championships in 08 and then 10. But the last couple of years have been lean, but you're getting a little bit fat this fall. So we appreciate you coming down tonight so much. I know for you it wasn't a real long commute.
Not
I didn't realize till tonight you're a Toms River guy.
Yes.
Got to meet your family here, your adorable three children. So we wish you nothing but the best, Dave. Enjoy the good times, and I hope you guys keep winning.
All right, thanks a lot.
Jake, only a junior.
Yes,
we'll
sir.
Look forward to having you back next year.
All right.
We'll fix you up with something else, Dieter, all right?
All right, thank you.
Good luck this weekend and the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Jay Curry, and, of course, from Freehold Borough, their head coach, Dave Ellis. We'll take a timeout. We go from the Colonials to the Mariners after this break. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
Good season going on right now for our next team that we'll spotlight tonight on the Investors Bank High School Football Show, live here from the Water Street Bar and Grill. Toms River North, 3-1 so far. They come fresh off a 48-12 victory over Marlboro that took place on Thursday. And we welcome in Dave Ozowitz, the second-year head coach, along with the big fellow, the defensive lineman Adam Kakar. Guys, thanks so much for giving us a couple minutes. How are you tonight?
We're doing okay. Really appreciate you having us. You know, it's an honor.
It's nice to have you down here. And, Coach, we'll start with you. You know, this has been a turnaround season a little bit. When you think about Toms River North, one of the perennial programs that's always at the top. Tough year last year, but obviously, as we've talked, seen you a couple of times, this is a different football team from last season.
Yeah, it is. I mean, last year, I think, in many ways, was a unique year, an anomaly. You know, if you look at the past 20, 25 years of Toms River North, whether it was Coach Nanny or Coach LaBarca, you know, they've always had, you know, very, very strong programs. And, you know, I mean, after last season, we looked at, like I've said before to the media, we looked at every facet of the program. And, you know, we just didn't kind of rest on our laurels and say, well, you know, we were young and we're going to be better next year. We really looked at everything, you know, things that we've done in the past, you know, that were successful. We didn't just say, well, that's going to come around. You know, we changed some things. We really did, and we tried to be innovative in the things that we were doing in the off season and our approach, and you know, the way we went about our schemes offensively, defensively, and special teams. And we've had a great off season. The summer went very smoothly. We were very, very competitive in the preseason, and you know, so far, I got to be honest with you. You know, I'm happy where we're at. We're not content. We're not complacent. But if you were probably to tell me before the season, you know, those first four. If we were sitting there 3-1 going into a very, very good Jackson Memorial team that we knew was going to be that good, I'd be pretty excited about it.
Adam, when we did your first game against Lacey, okay, the thing that impressed me, the W was good, but the thing that impressed me was your improvement. And how would you classify your junior year to what you've done so far in the first four games? And then I'm going to ask the same question to Coach. You think you've improved?
Yes, yeah, definitely. I'm working on the off season a lot, mainly on my technique. I've been working with a trainer, Coach Pete Kafaf, and we've been working on all my hand movements. And
personal trainer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. So we've been working on all that and all off seasons, working on some explosion and stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely this year I'm definitely more technically sound and just working on my hand placement and all that.
Give us your size.
My what?
Size.
Size 6'3", 320.
320 before dinner that was?
Yeah, most likely.
Coach, same question. How's this kid solidified that defensive line?
Lost in our 1-9 season last year was about this time going into Jackson. We made some changes personnel-wise on defense. And, you know, the end result wasn't always great. But when we watched the film, we moved him from nose guard, which we brought him up as a freshman. He played there. He played there as a sophomore. And he was a dominant nose guard.
Mm-hmm.
But we were suffering holding a point on the long side against the tight end side. And we decided to make a move because we had another kid that was a big boy last year that could maybe, you know, hold down and absorb double teams, not make a play. He's so talented that, you know, if you run at him, you're not moving him, you know. He can hold the double teams, and he can even split a double team. If you run away, he's got the athleticism, and we were pleasantly surprised with that last year, where if you ran away from him, all right, which they started to do, he was able to track it flat when a guard pulled. So, you know, or if you ran zone away from him. So, you know, Adam's really, to me, in the off season, improved his hands. He's improved his pass rush technique, and I think that was the work he put in with his offseason coach. And Coach Bob Cassidy does a tremendous job. You know, he's mentored the defensive line there. This is my ninth year at Toms River North. We've had some great defensive lines over the years. You know, our state championship year, we had a really good defense in 08 and 09. And, you know, our defensive line really was the centerpiece of those defenses. And I think in many ways this year, I think our down five, you know, it's as good as anybody's, you know, around, you know. And I think Coach Cass has a lot to do with that.
Coach, you've constructed this 2014 team to be mainly a two-platoon team.
Yep.
Why?
Well, I mean, number one, we got the players to do it, you know, and it's more efficient when you practice. We did that for years with Chip. You know, I mean, he believed in that, and, you know, we saw the results that that yielded. You know, and then our numbers were down for a few years, and, you know, you got to get your best players on the field. So, you know, with that, you know, you're going to fatigue a little bit, you know, but you're going to put your best players on the field. And, you know, you've been through both sides of that as well. But when we sat back in the offseason and we looked at what do we need to change, you know, and you know, I'm one of those guys that I used to argue for, you know, put your best kids out there and don't two platoon. But when we started to look at our roster, even though we only have about 65 kids on the team, we're not as deep maybe as some of the other teams in terms of sheer numbers. You know, we're not going to roll out as many as some of the, you know, Brick Township or Jackson Memorial. But when we looked at, you know, players that could get on the field and really, really help us, whether they were a sophomore or they were a junior or senior. We felt like we were deeper than we've been in years, probably since going back to 08 and 07 and 06. Mm-hmm. So we decided to make the change and jump into that side of the pool, and I think it's starting to pay off a little bit for us.
We're here with Dave Oswitz, Adam Kakar, Toms River North, 3-1 to open up the 2014 season. They'll continue a three-game road swing at Jackson. It'll be our game tomorrow that we'll broadcast on the Shore Sports Network. Adam, as the guy who normally says the names more so than any of the three of us, I want to say thank you, because on the roster, it doesn't say Adam. So you kind of have kind of an interesting story, right, to your background and your heritage, because it doesn't say Adam Kakar. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what it's like for your family being here. You, I believe, as I was just told, you're a first-generation American here born in the United States, but your family necessarily is not.
Yeah, I'm actually from Afghanistan, and from what I know, I'm actually the first American Afghan football player ever, really, I think. So it's a real honor, and it was something that I can tell my family members will be amazed by it, and my parents are extremely proud of me, and so are my brothers and sisters. So it's a great feeling to be that first person to start this.
Have they gotten to the point, your family, I mean, where they understand the game?
My parents, not really. They understand if I make a tackle, it's a good thing. My brother, definitely. He's the reason why I got into the sport. He's honestly like, he's basically like my dad for football. That's where he is in my life. And my sister's just there for support.
Say your first name.
Saifullah.
No, that's not so bad.
That's not bad.
It doesn't
look like that.
It looks a lot worse on paper, for sure. I will tell you that. Coach, you know, we were talking at the beginning part of the show just what a year it has shaped up to be in A South. Right now it's Brick and everybody else kind of chasing them at 4-0. But, you know, Brick Memorial 3-1. Right. Jackson 2-1 in the division. You're 2-1. Tom Surfer Sound 2-1. They're no easy games to play within A South.
No, it's a black and blue division. You know, it's every week, you know, there's something, there's a trap sitting there lying wait for you, you know, and you know it, you know, and each week is a new challenge, a new obstacle, and you know, this week I think is a monumental challenge, you know, facing us. I was in attendance at Brick Township and Jackson Memorial, and I was just so impressed. Number one, the atmosphere was outstanding, but the two teams were playing like it was a sectional final, and you know, it was just a war. It really was out there, and you know, both teams are as good a teams as I remember. You know, going back, you know, Ed, you were in a lot of these wars going back in A South. They're vintage football teams, you know. You know, it's vintage football for Brick Township and Jackson Memorial, and it's going to take our very best effort and then some, you know, maybe a little off night from them, you know, for us to pull it out. But, you know, our thing, our mantra has been, hey, we're going to play 48 minutes and more if we have to. We hope to get it into that 48th minute with a chance to win. I mean, that's really where we're at. We understand at that Brick Township game, I mean, their onslaught in the first quarter was tremendous. You could feel it. I mean, just almost, you know, they're volatile. You know, they play physical. They play fast everywhere, special teams. It's just like those turn of the century, you know, 2000, early 2000 teams. And you have to withstand the onslaught. It's almost like getting in the ring with Mike Tyson. I told our kids that. You got to survive
some punches.
You're going to have to take some punches against them. And then you hope that you got enough to be able to respond to them and then have something in third and fourth quarter to play with. And that's been our approach. That was our approach a few weeks ago against Tom River South. It's really been our approach all year. We want to play a four-quarter game. We want to get it down to the last minutes. We want to have a chance to be within a score, okay, of having an opportunity to win the game late. And that's really our objective tomorrow night.
Well, Dave, you know, besides, and by the way, I'm glad you brought up Tom River South, because, you know, like I said, and I know you're pretty similar, I've either seen or coached in or broadcasted just about every one of those games. By far, that was the best one. Overall, excitement, you know, there might have been better, you know, there was this 8-0 game and stuff like that. But as far as excitement and fanned atmosphere, that was one of the best ever.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, I saw a lot of them growing up. I grew up a few blocks from Tom's River South, and, you know, I played in a few, and I've coached in more than I even played in, so... yeah, it was the best game that I've ever coached in. anywhere. Civil War wise, you know, I'd let the experts like yourself figure that out. I did get a call from Mr.
Don't say expert when you're talking to Ed. Not on the air, please. Not on the air.
I did get a call from Mr. John Garbrandt Sr.,
who spent
all of his career here in Tom's River, and he told me in 43 years that was the greatest North South game that he's ever witnessed, and you know that meant a lot. You know, and meant even more when you win it. I don't know if it would have meant as much if you didn't win it, but it was a tremendous game. There was tremendous plays made on both sides. You know, Coach Signorino and his staff does such a tremendous job, and I hope they go on and win a sectional title down there in South Jersey 4. But there, you know, the game seesawed so many different times and so many different ways. Each team kind of packed it in. They could have packed it in, you know, before the half. They stuck one in. We come out in the third slow, which wasn't obviously our objective. We really felt that we could have seized control of the game to start the third. We didn't do that. We gave them life. They responded. They went up 11. And then I'm going to tell you, you know, there was a moment, I'm sure, that all of us, you know, took a moment and said, wow, you know, are we in trouble? And when that score went in and they went up 11, when Timur did his magic, our kids, to a man, said, let's go. We're going to get it back, you know, and they believed. And then at that moment, I didn't allow myself to even think, hey, we may not win this game.
Right.
We just went back after it and did what we did and kept chopping away. And, you know, we were fortunate, you know, to get them, you know, in a position where we could hold them late and, you know, hold them out. But, yeah, that was a great win and a great confidence builder for our kids. I think so much when you lose like we did last year, you know we know we're talented and we understand what kind of team we have potentially, our kids need to win a game like that. We needed to be in a war like that, in a battle, and we needed to come away walking off that field as victors. There wasn't going to be any kind of sentimental value coming out of a game if we would have lost 44, 34. It wouldn't have helped us at all, you know. So we're happy about it, and we're trying to build on it. You know, we did improve last week against Marlboro, and, we hope to do the same this week.
Adam, do you feel like that game against South, you know, coming off the season that you did a year ago, it's kind of one of those turning point moments. Do you feel like winning that game, that was the moment that you could have, as coaches said, you could have folded. Maybe last year you would have, but this year, different team, different players, different motto. That's kind of an important step for a younger football team, which you guys are.
Yeah, definitely. It was a great win for us. We felt like it actually let us feel like we're a winning team now. I remember last year, you're right, we probably would have folded up, even though we came out so swinging at them, but it wouldn't have happened. But this year, it let us know we're a winning team now, and we can actually do some things that we couldn't do last year, and it's definitely a confidence booster for us, and something we're going to build on for the rest of the year.
Coach, besides that two platoon system you've installed that's worked perfectly for you so far,
yeah,
you are also designed to running the football. You've put into play two or three different running backs, including Mike Husney, your quarterback,
right,
who, by the way, Adams improved, but Husney has really taken a giant leap and improved drastically from his freshman year to only his sophomore. He is quite a ball player. But Parker Day, Asante Moore, I mean, you've got the running game, and you will not get out of that running game because Husney can throw the football, but unless you absolutely have to and you pick your spot. And by the way, your staff, your brother coaches the offense, Mike Osowitz, that was one of the greatest offensive efforts I've seen out of a coach, the way he called that game against Tom's River South. And, you know, I said that to him after the game, and I hope it was heartfelt because I thought it was just a tremendously called game. But you want to run the football.
Yeah, I mean, our goal, we want to try to run the football and establish the run. There's a variety of ways to do that, you know, and it really depends on your opponent. Formations play a role in how we run the football against each team. You know, you're not just always going to be able to line up in two tights and a flanker and be able to say, you know, we're going to run the ball here and there's nothing you're going to do about it. So our philosophy is to try to find the weakness within the defense, whether it's, you know, scheme, whether it's personnel, and find that soft spot. Sometimes it happens quickly. Sometimes it takes a little longer. Last week it took us a while to find it. But that is our philosophy. We want to run the football. We want to play fast because we're in two platoon. We want to try to run off as many plays. I think we've averaged in the low 60s. I think we've been as high as 68 in a game. And, you know, obviously we want to, you know, perpetuate drives with first downs. But we'd like to score a little faster. If there's something that I'd like to see us improve on, I'd like to score faster, you know, if we could. There's some really good defenses out there. The coordinators in the league are just so darn strong, you know, in terms of the film work they do. Huddle's really, the advent of huddle has created you know, it's really helped everybody, you know, in terms
scouting.
Of absolutely, you know, you're not gaining much of an advantage on anybody, you know, because everyone has it, and everyone's so coached up and you know, tendencies, everyone knows them, you know, and you better know your own. So, but yeah, I mean, that's what we want to do, and we did go to work on our offensive scheme last year. You know, we huddled and we played a little slower, and we were a little more predictable about what we did. By design, we wanted to shorten the game up. We knew we were a little deficient defensively. This year, I've already told Coach Malik, who, by the way, is doing a phenomenal job with our defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a great job. He's a technician. He puts a tremendous amount of work and time in. He really leaves no stone unturned. But I've already told him, I said, listen, I'm not really concerned about points against. All right, what we want to do is try to create takeaways and try to create opportunities, field position for us. And we're going to play fast. And if we got to get into, you know, shootouts, so be it. We will.
Adam, you feel like you're getting double-teamed more this year?
Yeah, definitely.
Now, you know, you got a big, pretty big offensive line coming up Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know all these
Jackson guys.
Yeah, yeah. Played against them in Shore's best camp over the summer. For last year and this year, I know most of them. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be a fun competition to go against.
You know, they've got a few running backs also that have to be stopped.
So yeah,
tell
yeah.
us how you've prepared yourself this week with film work and practice work.
Well, definitely we have to work on the big guys up front. We know they're going to be big, strong, fast, physical. And we know we have to work on double teams because we know we're a 3-4 scheme, so we're going to be double teamed most of the time. And then also look right behind them, some little shifty guys going to run the ball. So we're definitely working on splitting double teams and then being real agile, trying to catch the little speedy guys. So hopefully we...
It's a pretty similar team, you know. That's a team that's got some size up front and want to run the ball.
They're massive up front. I mean, we're a good-sized team.
They're big.
They're humongous. They look like a collegiate offensive line. And our challenge really going to be to try to make sure they don't get any vertical push on us. And then you got to find the running backs. You know, Vinny Lee and Golic are just, you know, they're quick. You saw it last week, and Brick has a great defense, and they were still able to find some seams in there, especially mm-hmm. early, and they are dangerous if they crack that second level. They could take the distance. So, you know, we have our hands full tomorrow night, both sides of the football. Like I said, we have to survive the onslaught early, and then we hope that we're hanging around and we got an opportunity. Like you said, I think our offense is dangerous if you leave us around because Husney and company can make a play, and our offensive line is the heart and soul of our football team. Both the interior lines on offense and defense, the heart and soul of the team. I know a lot of skilled kids get a lot of the, you know, publicity in the media, but the heart and soul of our team really is our offense and defensive lines, and we really have tremendous senior leadership. Adam, you know, Joe Fantozzi, Tyler McClain, Jordan Craig, Valdez Santiago, Michael Sywick, Caleb Lewis. Am I missing anybody?
That's about it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, they've just been tremendous.
There's not a whole lot of them because you are young. This is a young team. This is a 2015 favorite in the A-South type team.
Well, I don't know about
now,
that.
No, I'm putting the label on you already.
There's some other teams that have a lot of young players too. But listen, we understand what we have, but we've talked about we want to be a now team. You know, right?
Oh,
no,
I agree.
You got to seize the moment. You know, we're going in. We have an opportunity here.
Right.
You know, and you know, it's we're happy to be playing meaningful games in October and hopefully deep into October in A-South. That's, you know, that's an accomplishment. It is. It's not easy. It's not easy to survive it.
Coach, when you think about it, and Dave Osworth, Adam Kakar here as we get set to kind of start to wrap things up a little bit, this is, in a way, because of Jackson's loss last week and yours earlier to Brick Memorial in the season, this has become a bit of an elimination game. Two losses probably will not do anything within the division. So this one really, you know, in terms of magnitude, the winner will live to fight another day.
Right.
You guys for sure, because you still have Brick on your schedule.
Yes.
But a second loss for either team probably damaging within the division.
Yeah, I don't differ with you there. I mean, you're not going to win it with two losses. You know, not with Brick Township sitting there. You know, and you know, for us, we just want to get better this week. You know, if we, you know, our kids understand, you know, the magnitude of the game. You know, what occurs if we're able to, you know, overcome Jackson, and you know, but we're not really allowing ourselves to think about that. You know. One thing at a time, you know, our approach to the game, play the game, try to execute, try to have an opportunity in the fourth quarter, and then let the chips fall where they may, and then we'll worry about, you know, where we are after, whether we win, whether we didn't, and then try to go from there. And that's really all you can do as a team and as a coaching staff.
Adam, be remiss without asking you. I mean, you are the prototypical size-wise college defensive lineman. Where are you at in that process right now?
I started off a little slow due to my my grade was GPA was a little low going into my junior year, and I finally realized what I was doing wrong. So I thought I was going to be fine, but then I looked at it and I wasn't doing the things I was supposed to do. So you know, junior year came around, I definitely picked my grades up, and right now looking at my grades, they're all A's and B's. So my GPA is actually over a 2.5 now. It's around 2.7. Hopefully, it'll go up a little higher. And then I just need to let my the coaches that have been contacting me, let them know that it's up now. So hopefully the offers will start rolling in.
What schools are in contact with you, if you don't mind sharing, and what schools are you most interested in?
There's BC, Temple, UConn, Pitt, around those kind of schools, Rutgers. Most interested. I'm not sure really right now. I want to see who's still waiting on me, who's still going to offer me, and then I want to go off of that list.
Well, we wish you guys the best of luck tomorrow night. Looking forward to seeing you again. We've seen you already a couple times this year. Should be a great football game. Thanks so much, both of you, for coming down.
Thanks for having us.
Dave Osowitz, Adam Kakar. We will see Tom's River North tomorrow, squaring off against the Jaguars at Jackson. We'll step out here when we come back on the other side. We'll talk some Monmouth University football with head coach Kevin Callahan. This is the Investors Bank High School Football Show, live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shores Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And welcome back. Home stretch here on Thursday night, the Investors Bank High School Football Show. A couple of great spots with people from Freehold Borough and Toms River North. And we make the transition to Monmouth University. Thinking of a great spot, the Hawks have survived the Pennsylvania trip in rather fine fashion and are back home. It's been a long time since they've played at Kessler Field. Actually, September 13th. It's
been a while.
Time. Yeah. Hawks will be back home with their 4-1 record this Saturday. 1 o'clock kickoff at Kessler. They'll take on the Lions of Columbia out of the Ivy League, still searching for their first win. And Coach Kevin Callahan is probably happy to see Pennsylvania in his rear view mirror. Coach, how are you tonight?
We're doing good, and we're happy to be home. It's been a month since we played here at home in West Long Branch, and our guys are really looking forward to it. You know, we had two trips out to Pittsburgh in a three-week span, sandwiched with a trip out to Lehigh in between, and although we came out of the road trip in decent shape, we're excited to be home.
And Coach, you know, just to recap that game against Robert Morris, you know, offensively pretty much off the charts, over 500 yards again, contributions from a ton of guys, and a couple of late scores for Robert Morris, but through the first three quarters, a fairly dominant performance by the defense.
It was a very dominant performance, Matt, and actually the game, and you were there, it was a game that we really complemented each other in terms of our offense, complemented the defense, and vice versa. Throughout those first three quarters, you know, the defense came up with some great stops and turnovers, created terrific field position for the offense. The offense finished off drives the way they should, although there are a couple of the red zone opportunities where we like to see touchdowns instead of field goals. But I thought it was a very complete game.
Coach, Columbia comes in 0-3. However, whenever you see that their quarterback was a Stanford player and recruit and now is transferred to Columbia, got to make you think a little bit more about that position, right?
Well, without a doubt, Ed. And when you watch him on video, I mean, he's got everything. He was a Lux backup out there, Andrew Lux backup at Stanford, transferred to Columbia. Missed last season. We didn't see him because he injured his wrist in the game previous to ours. But he's an outstanding quarterback. He's got the size. He's got the length. He's extremely accurate. He's got a very quick release. And he can spread the ball around. And the key this week is going to be not letting him get on track, not letting him find a rhythm.
Columbia clearly, Kevin, has struggled a bit in dropping their first three games. Did you have any concern this week in terms of complacency in practice just because of what they've done on the field, that being your opponent on Saturday?
Well, you know what, Kevin? Yes and no. Not really, though. I think, you know, good teams do what they're supposed to do. Good teams win when they're supposed to win, and we are aspiring to be a good team. And so this is a week that we've got to go out and take care of business. Our guys know the challenges that we face. We know the ability of their quarterback. And they're a defensive team that 9 out of 10 plays play outstanding defense. And they've just been victimized by that big play every here and there. And, you know, so we know that we've got to go out and do everything that we have to do in order for us to be successful. The other thing that we talk to our guys about is raising the level of expectation in terms of our performance each and every week. And, you know, while we're happy with what we did last week and the week before, we need to push the bar higher this week.
Coach, obviously for us, we like to talk about some of the Shore Conference guys when we can, one on the offensive side, one on the defensive side for me, and we're certainly very familiar with Neil Sterling, who, you know, I'll say when he wants to, and that's not a slight or an insult, but when he is on, few can really match up with him on the defensive side of the ball. So let's start with that one, and then we'll move to the defensive side as well, where you've got a freshman playing as well of just about anybody right now on that side of the football.
Well, I'll tell you what, Neil's having a terrific year. He's you know, making big plays for us. He's very difficult to defend. What we're starting to see is a lot of teams putting two men and double covering him and trying to vice him and do different things like that. He has the ability to go make the great catch, but he also has the ability to run after the catch. He's a big, strong, physical player, as you know, and he can make great plays for us. And, you know, we're going to continue to try to get him the football. And I know on defense you're talking about Mike Basile, who just yesterday was named one of the finalists for the Jerry Rice Award, which is representative of the top freshmen in the country. And, you know, Mike is playing outstanding football. And I know Josh Newman wrote an article about it the other day, but his transition to college football, to college from high school football, has been outstanding, as good as I've ever seen. He gets it. He has the big picture. He understands it. He understands schemes. And, you know, he's just playing at a very high level right now.
Coach, for the first time in his career, LaVon Chaney was the man at running back. The game itself gave you a chance to get a lot of other running backs some carries. But how did LaVon Chaney come out of the game as far as getting the, you know, every down carry? And what did you think of his play?
A-plus. Did everything that we expected him to do. Was strong, was physical, was able to get the extra yards, was able to carry the ball and carry the load from a rushing attack standpoint, but also was able to catch the ball out of the backfield. He had 29 touches on the day, and for a guy who's 5'8", if that, 180 pounds, that's a pretty good day. And did everything that we thought and knew he could do.
Talking with Monmouth University head coach Kevin Callahan as Hawks back home on Saturday, 1 o'clock kick against Columbia at Kessler Field. If you can't be there, you can catch it on 1160 and 1310 a.m. and SureSportsNetwork.com. Matt and Eddie Acapinti on the call. You know, Kevin, I know one of the spots you were a bit concerned about heading into the season was linebacker because of how thin you were at that position. Assess your team's play at that spot through five games, and do you feel you're getting stronger there and developing a bit more depth as the season wears on?
Well, you know, it's still a position where we remain thin. We don't have a lot of depth there, but I'm extremely happy with the way the guys are playing. The linebacker play last week at Robert Morris was probably the best play of any of our units on offense or defense. John Sikowski from Maryland did an outstanding job. Peyton Minnick, the other outside linebacker. Dan Sullivan from Manasquan, who pairs with Tyler Thompson at the middle position. I thought they did a terrific job. I think they were close to having 40 tackles between the four of them. Just a great day overall. We are developing some young players there. Our freshman Zach Talley, Ryan Zuchek from out in Allentown is doing a good job at the other outside spot. And Brandon Anthony, a sophomore from down in Maryland. We're hoping that we can get those guys more and more playing time and more experience. They did get the share of the fourth quarter the other day, and you know, although they weren't perfect, it was a learning experience from them, and we're hoping to bring them along.
Coach, schedule-wise, after this one, you get the bye to prepare you for the Big South. You know, good spot to be in. I know at the beginning of the year, if somebody told you you'd be 5-1, you know, going into the conference schedule, I think you would have signed for that one right there. I mean, everybody would like to be 6-0, of course, but the bye's coming at a good week, gives you 2 weeks to prepare for a Presbyterian.
Well, let me just stop right there real quick. You know this. You're a coach.
Yeah,
we're not counting number five until
I know,
we get
I know,
five.
I know.
So let's
know,
stop short
I understand.
Of 5-1 right now, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
All right.
I got you.
If we're fortunate enough to get there.
Right, if you're fortunate.
You know, we also know that the bye is coming at the right time. We've got a lot of guys banged up. We haven't started the same five guys in our offensive line in any game this year. And we won't again this week. So, we're concerned about that. I think the bye week is an opportunity for us to rest up, to heal up a little bit, and then, you know, get ourselves built up for the Big South, which is going to be it's a grind. We know that. Last week, there was three teams in the top 25. So, you know, we've got to get ready for that. But we have to take care of business on Saturday first.
All right.
You know, Coach, we'll save it really more for next week when we chat with you, but will you spend a little more time on recruiting next week and the following weekend that you have that bye, or does that – I know you recruit all year long, but will you step it up a little bit next week?
We will, Kevin. As a matter of fact, we had a staff meeting this afternoon, and we've got all of next week completely planned out in terms of where we're going to be and who we're going to see, and we're going to practice two of the days next week, but the other days, you know, our staff will be out and about locally throughout the state and throughout the Northeast. And it's a big recruiting week for us.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you on Saturday. It'll be fun to be back at Kessler for Monmouth against the Lions of Columbia. As always, Coach, we thank you for your time, and we'll see you Saturday afternoon.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
All right. Monmouth University head coach Kevin Callahan goes on his way.
Can you
they're going to be 5-1. He can't say it, but...
Can you believe I have to go to a wedding at 10:30 Saturday morning, which is going to not allow me to go to the Columbia game?
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Where is the wedding?
Wife. It's in Point Pleasant.
Okay.
10:30, reception to follow at 12. There's no way I can make it, guys.
I don't know.
I'll be there in spirit. I'll have my portable radio listening to you, Matt.
Your season pass has been revoked.
It is. Yeah. I told Greg Viscomi, I said, I can't be there. My kids will be there. Everybody is going to see, Mike, the local guy. And I feel bad. I mean, they haven't been there. They haven't been home in a month. Right. I got to have a wedding.
Yeah, well, everyone wants Luch at their wedding. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll hopefully chat a little bit with Scott Stump. We'll take a look at this weekend's high school schedule. I'll have to review our football picks, which really...
Yes.
I think we got to get a forensic accountant on this because I'm finding it a little hard to believe. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
Scott Stump is the managing editor of Shore Sports Network. That includes our incredibly popular website, ShoreSportsNetwork.com, and our Shore Sports Network Journal. The current issue out today, available at all Jersey Mike's subs locations in Ocean and Monmouth County. Jersey Mike's our great partner this year. All Wawas, the super Wawas with gas stations in Ocean and Monmouth counties. And, of course, lots of other places as well. And he joins us as we hit the home stretch here on a Thursday night. And, Scott, good football weekend coming up. A few big games, but... You know, I touched on it briefly with Dave Ellis, and only because you and I chatted about today, but obviously anyone who follows, heck, you don't even have to follow football. Anyone who is not in a coma will know that the last couple of days the spotlight really has been on the town of Sayreville and their football program. I'm just wondering in your conversations with any of the coaches around the shore if you got a sense that anyone has changed anything or is reacting because of that or feels pretty comfortable in the way they run their program, that things like that would never be a factor.
Yeah, you know, I think they keep a little bit more of a close eye on things, but a lot of coaches that I spoke with said, you know, they regularly have a coach posted in the locker room or right outside the locker room who's monitoring things all the time. I mean, maybe some schools might make that more of a rigid protocol where you have to do it, where it's more of a rule than an informal type thing at some places. But, I think a lot of coaches were just stunned that it was even able to happen. You know, I think it was one of those things that would have been a difficult thing for it to happen at our school just because there's so much close monitoring that it would have been almost impossible for that kind of hazing to take place for very long without somebody immediately finding out or seeing it or stopping it.
And, of course, you know, there is we can relate to it only in the fact that, yes, it's Sayreville and it's not the Shore Conference, but many Shore Conference teams have played Sayreville over the years, not just during the regular season but in the state playoffs. And I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the Bombers head coach, George Najjar, is a Monmouth County resident.
Middletown, right?
Lives in Middletown, and he's very familiar with the Shore Conference. So maybe a little bit closer to home than it would normally be.
Right, and they're a very respected program. I mean, they're a team that had done well against the Shore Conference in recent years. Obviously, Manalapan had the big win over them this year, so I think that kind of shocked people, too, because certainly there was a level of respect for Coach Najjar and his program, so I think that's what left a lot of coaches just stunned and almost refusing to believe that there's any way he could have had any knowledge of this. But, I tend to agree with a lot of the editorials that have been written that one way or another, that coaching staff has to go, because either they were complicit in it, they knew about it and didn't say anything, or they were so lackadaisical and so ignorant of it that it happened under their nose. Either way, to me, that means you got to go.
Yeah, I think most people would agree with you that, somebody has to pay the price from an administrative standpoint, and the coaches are responsible for the safety and well-being of their player. And in this case, it looks like, that responsibility was not fulfilled. So, anyway, we'll move on.
Scott, some real good games on the schedule this week. I actually want to kind of throw a little wrinkle at you. 10 teams right now still looking for their first win. I believe all but Asbury Park will play this week. Week 5 for some, week 4 for another. Will any of those teams be able to get a victory this week?
Yeah, I think there's a couple. I mean, Keyport plays a Highland Park team that is 0-16 against the Shore Conference since losing to Asbury Park in the state finals in 2009. And both of those teams are winless, so you got to think Keyport has a shot in that one. You got a winless Toms River East team playing a one-win Freehold Township team. I think it's another at home. I think that's a game where East could end up getting their first victory. Both of those teams have played really tough schedules in the first couple weeks. Right now, I would put those two out there as probably the best shot.
Scott, is there any explanation? We've got to get. Let me just get this off my chest right now. If you go on ShoreSportsNetwork.com and check out the Gold Coast Cadillac Week 5 football picks, brought to you by Gold Coast Cadillac, located on Route 35 in Oakhurst, a half mile south of the Monmouth Mall, you will find to the left and in first place remains Ed Sarluka, who, Matt, in all the years we've picked games, he didn't even threaten for the top spot, and he has been in the catbird seat since week one. How can we explain that?
I know. Maybe because he's retired, he's just sitting around making phone calls and getting every little tiny detail of the game while the rest of us are working.
He's been retired for a decade. Are you kidding? That's not it.
You're not the only person that knows a lot of these coaches. I do make my phone call, Scott, but I will predict that this week people will catch me. As you said in the write-up before, that Bob Batters is creeping up, and I hope you liked my comment back to you. I said there's no way Bob Batters could creep up on anyone. However, I think this might be the week that he catches me, among others. I picked all of the Middlesex County teams, including Highland Park in the upset over Keyport, if you want to call it that.
Well,
and
so
I did
far,
know that 0-16 step.
So far,
excuse me?
The GMC has had the upper hand so far.
Yes,
year,
that's
so
right. That's what I told Kevin before.
It's not the worst idea. Right? But, no, I think Kevin had emailed me, too, and he made a good point. This week, more than any week this season, there's more toss-up games more difficult games to pick than any other week between the top-level games, the middle-of-the-pack teams, and then these sort of one-win teams versus winless teams.
Okay, let's get to the games.
All right, a couple quickies. Charlie Volker, Scott, Rumson has a big one at Long Branch after last week's loss to St. John Vianney. Volker with a high ankle sprain. Yes or no on tomorrow night?
Well, he was evaluated by their athletic trainer today. They put him through some tests. They say if he's at 80%, he's going to go. If you have to ask me, I think he's going to play. So you're going to have two of the best running backs in the Shore. Demir Willis from Long Branch leads the Shore Conference, 898 yards in only four games. And then Volker, as we know, one of the best in the state. Probably wouldn't be at 100%, but he's a tough kid. I mean, their fear is re-aggravating this injury. So for all we know, this could come down to almost a game-time decision.
Very interesting cross-divisional game, I think, between Manasquan and Barnegat. Scott, what's the take on that?
Yeah, to me, that's a nice game to compare Class A Central with Manasquan and Class B South with Barnegat. The game's down at Barnegat, so Manasquan is a little more human away from their home field where, you know, they're so tough to beat. But two good running teams, James McGillary coming off a big rushing day for Manasquan, a win over Ocean. Barnegat's kind of righted the ship with two straight wins after the loss to Central. I think that's going to just be a slugfest, and whoever defends the run better, you know, will have the upper hand. I mean, Barnegat maybe a little bit of edge at quarterback because of St. John Erskine, his ability to throw the ball. But I think that's going to, you know, sometimes people are down on Class B South and the quality of the teams there, and I think this is a chance for them to kind of make a statement against the Manasquan program that always gets respect in the Shore.
Yeah, that is a homecoming for Barnegat also, so that's a big incentive for them. You know, the team that I'm going to talk about now is a team that never, ever goes under the radar in his entire career, but this year I feel they're under the radar because they are a good football team. That's Middletown South. Probably should win again this week. It's a good team, and they're going to face some big-time schools in the coming weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they have a Howell team this week that they're a heavy favorite against. I mean, their schedule, you know, they started off with Marlboro, which was we saw was kind of a, you know, undermanned team against them. And then their first big test was South Brunswick, you know, a tremendous team, Dante Strickland, the Syracuse recruit. They lost that game, so I think after that maybe they did dip under the radar a little bit, although they came back a week later and drilled a Neptune team that was coming off a win over Ocean. But, yeah, I think the real question everybody's wondering is, are they going to finally get over the hump against Manalapan? I mean, Manalapan's beaten them four straight times. I mean, has anybody ever beaten Middletown South five straight times in the history of their program?
They will be the dog in that.
Yeah, and they'll
be the underdog.
I mean, you know, Manalapan will have a winning streak up around, I guess, 27, 28 games against Shore Conference teams probably going into that game, so that's going to most likely be for the A-North title, although I'm sure your guests earlier tonight, Freehold Borough, would like to have something to say about that division race as well. But, you know, I think things will really start to heat up for Middletown South. I believe they're also going to play Brick Memorial down the stretch.
Yes.
So that's another top-10 team, another good game. So I think we'll start to hear a lot more about them and Cole Rogers and all their great players going forward.
That music means, Scott, we're done. So thanks so much for joining us. Want to thank all our guests tonight, the great folks here at the Water Street Bar and Grill. Tom Tremblay, of course, Harrison Stevens back at the studios. Have a great football weekend, everyone. You've been listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
This has been the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on News Talk Radio, WOBM, AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show was presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Join us again next week. And for a complete look at Shore Conference football anytime, visit ShoreSportsNetwork.com.